Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Wheelie Clean. Dental hygiene care has returned to BC, and there's no safer option than Wheelie Clean. Introducing the Capital Daily's weekly photo challenge. Each week, our team will post the weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is nighttime photography. To find out how you can enter, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter. Hi, I'm Ben Waterworth, and welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 5th, 2020. Today on the podcast,
I thought at that point when Trump did that 4 years ago, that was the end of his career and that he would retire from politics. That's how wrongly I misjudged America. That was the old America.
We chat with our favorite American, Howie Siegel, about the U.S. election and why the result so far has him dancing in the street, as well as hearing his thoughts on just why there is such a big divide currently south of the border. We are a local news publication here at Capital Daily, but it's hard not to notice that the number one news story on the planet right now is happening just within sight of us in the United States. So to get a local perspective on the state of the US election, we thought we would check in with our favourite American, Pagliacci's founder and local impresario, Howie Siegel, and he is joining me right now on the podcast. Howie, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Capital Daily podcast.
Ben, I'm dancing on the corner of Quadra and Finlayson in Victoria. Ben, if you see a leprechaun-like figure dancing, don't hit me with your car. I'm celebrating. I swore that if Biden wins, Ben, I would dance in the streets of Victoria, and I'm dancing for victory, for joy. And last night, I went to sleep like Dracula, going into my crypt convinced that I had lost. When I was 3 years old in 1948, I went to sleep not knowing, thinking that Thomas Dewey was the president. When I got up the next morning, President Harry Truman was in the White House. This is what it was like.
Great.
We were putting that piece of garbage back into office, and I was devastated. My Western civilization, devastated. And all of a sudden, oh, my God, the sunlight has... Well, there's very little sunlight in Victoria right now.
Right, right, yes.
But it's in my heart. It's in all of our hearts.
Yes.
It's a wonderful feeling, Ben, to reclaim our country.
I'm so glad to have some such positivity on the show today, Howie. I love that. That's why we wanted you on today. I felt like this was how this was going to turn out as soon as we welcomed you on the show. And look at how it's turned out. This is great.
It's not all positivity. I mean, when you look at Trump, you know that he was maligning immigrants. What are we but all immigrants? Maligning immigrants, and yet his wives were immigrants.
Mm.
Immigrants do the work that that natives won't do. His immigrant wives did work that Canadian Americans wouldn't do. They slept with him.
Mm.
You know, he should have been grateful to the immigrants. It
Very
goes
much
on,
so.
And
Not
on and
so.
On and on. We're planning on Trump's library, by the way. It'll be the only library in the world without a book.
Yeah.
Not one book. If one book, The Art of the Deal, his autobiography, which he never read.
DVDs of The Apprentice lining the shelves instead.
Exactly. It's time to savor our victory. We're moments away, you know, as they declare these states... as they fall in the electoral dominoes, inevitably towards the side of light and justice and mercy and good.
Mm.
We won, Ben!
Congratulations, Howie.
Yeah.
I should let people know, of course, listening to this on a Thursday, at the time we are recording this, of course, this is the situation at play. And, of course, who knows what's going to happen by the time we've recorded this and released this. But, you know, we're hearing the joyous tones here of Howie and his feedback. How were you on Tuesday night, Howie, watching? You mentioned, obviously, you went to bed kind of not feeling great, but...
I was a wreck. I'll tell you how bad it was. I couldn't eat dessert.
Wow. Gee, that's very bad.
I was depressed.
Wow.
And when we went to bed, even though James Cargill, he was the genius, you know, Clinton's mastermind strategist, said, all you Democrats, put your razors away and don't take the Ambien. He was the only one that really saw in the hours ahead that the that things would change. He called it. Cargill looked like a genius. But still, we went to bed severely depressed. I can't tell you how, a terrible feeling. A terrible, terrible feeling. I'm a dual citizen. I've been in Canada for 40 years, but there's always be a part of me that's American. When those planes went crashing into the Manhattan, I was kind of reborn an American, baptized in my own tears. But I'm a Canuck. I'm a Canadian. I love Canada. I was so proud of Canada, the way we've gotten through the COVID compared to what it was like in the United States. It was a disaster down there. So I'm a dual citizen. I have split loyalties. This Trump, he's been, you know, we were raised to respect each other, to praise each other, to have feelings for each other. I mean, this man trampled on every one of the values that we learned in any church or any temple in the world. He's an ugly, I'm not talking about politically. I mean, I voted marijuana. I voted NDP. I voted conservative and liberal and communist and green in the last election. I bounce all over the place. I'm not talking politically. I'm talking spiritually. The man is a piece of garbage.
It's fascinating to think that, from what I've seen, a lot of people are very shocked that, again, he's shown this level of, that he got this, I guess he did so well compared to what some people were thinking. I mean, given what happened 4 years ago, when I guess people didn't think he had a snowball's chance in hell, did you think that it was surprising to see him poll so well after we've seen what he's like as president over the last 4 years?
No, you're right. After 8 years of Obama, I thought America had made some strides. We were progressing as a nation, as a society, as a civilization. And we were, you know, inevitably, like the Bible told us, we were going to progress into the light. Well, it's like Trotsky told us, it's one step forward and three steps backwards. It's an indeterminate process. So we're paying for it. But damn, we won. We won. And that's the only thing I really can feel right now. And after such despair last night, I mean,
you can eat your dessert tonight, Howie. You can finally have it.
I couldn't even masturbate.
Oh,
that's how bad it was.
Jeez.
I know. Wow. I know.
You'll be having a very fun night tonight with some ice cream and masturbation. I'm telling you now, that's a good night.
I might do it today.
Yeah. Why not? You rise to the occasion. All levels here ready to go. I believe you're from Arizona. You spend, I think, half the year in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously it's become quite important in this election. I mean, we've seen a lot of Republican gains in a lot of these traditionally Democratic areas, and Arizona, it seemingly was reversed. I mean, how much do you see this because Donald Trump treated former Arizona Senator John McCain with absolute crap, like he treated him like garbage? Do you think that's a reason behind that?
I was going to take credit for, you know, moving there partially in the last year and living in Arizona. I was going to take credit for that turnaround, but I think that had a lot to do with it. John McCain was a hero, and he crapped all over him. I mean, that was a deplorable. I thought at that point, when Trump did that 4 years ago, that was the end of his career and that he would retire from politics. That's how wrongly I misjudged America. That was the old America, when you couldn't attack a patriot. But this is the new America, the new Canada, whatever. So I'm so grateful that we got rid of him. My girlfriend lives there. She was suicidal last night.
Wow.
I mean, she was, yeah, really, really depressed. I think I was too, actually. I must tell you, I like to think that I detach from it and what's on TV and what's for to eat.
Have you ever seen it like this before, Howie? Like, is this the worst you've ever seen in terms of a divide between people so much? What, you've got sort of the red and blue, I guess, such a divide that we've got right now?
Well, in 1964, I had a Che Guevara picture on my Volkswagen, and I stopped at a red light on Wilshire and Beverly, and a guy ran out of his car and punched me. My window was open, and he punched me in the face because I had the Che Guevara sticker.
Wow.
So it was divisive. It can be a little scary then, but I didn't have the sense. It was really starting with Vietnam. The Vietnam divides between the within Americans started this remarkable. But then, you know, a better historian than me will say it goes back to the Civil War. It goes back to Washington and Jefferson. And these guys had their politics in America has always been vicious, vicious. I'm not exaggerating. Vicious. And it continues to be. So, yes, the divide is horrific. Horrific.
One thing with division as well, when it comes to the racial division we've seen, one of the most surprising things we're seeing is that Donald Trump has strengthened his showing among every demographic group except white men. Black men, black women, Latino men, Latino women, the LGBT community. Some of these people are voting Republican in higher rates than at any point since the 60s. Going on what you were just saying there, Howie, do you see this as maybe the start of a new era where Americans don't necessarily vote purely along racial lines?
I certainly hope that it's improving. I certainly hope so. I thought it was with Obama. And then the reaction, the Trump reaction, kind of proved to me that we're still a racially divided country. And then I read the 1619, that magnificent overview of slavery that the New York Times put out this year. And that really reinforced whatever feelings I may have had. It really proved to me that slavery and the aftermath is still really determining the course of the United States. And that is, I think, the single greatest difference. Why we look at Canada and we look at the United States and say, why are our societies so different? And that's why I moved here, because I thought it was a gentler society, a sweeter society. When I came here in 1972, a cop said hello to me on the street. Mm. I think I may have mentioned that to you before.
Last time,
I'm not sure. Yeah, but it was meaningful to me. And I do believe that is really why Canada and America, besides some of the Revolutionary War and our rebellion against Britain, slavery, we did not have the curse of slavery to poison our society today. They're still paying the price for it.
And is that something that you feel will ever go away? Or given that it's been so long since they've had slavery and we're seemingly having these issues, that it might be something that's always going to be with them?
Yeah. Oh, Ben, it says in the Bible, this too shall pass. So, you may not believe everything you want in the Bible, is reading the Bible, but I'll choose to believe that things do pass. Forgetfulness, time, change. Everything changes. That's the nature of life. If it doesn't change, it atrophies and dies. So, yeah, I'm hoping it'll get better.
One thing that's always interesting with an election that you go into it, of course, you're reading polls and opinion pieces and all these kind of things that they're always going to predict it to go one way. And this is another election kind of almost like 2016 where it seemed the media and pollsters got it quite wrong. For yourself, Howie, you're a little bit more in tune, I guess, with the American psyche than some of us up here in Vancouver Island. But was there something that you saw in the last few weeks in the lead up to this that you thought it was going to turn out this way, or were you
You're right. No, nobody knows anything. Yeah. Nobody knows anything. Oh my God. But yet it's coming out the way they kind of said it might have, he's going to win. So I'm just so grateful, Ben. So grateful. And this ride, this emotional roller coaster from last night to today, it's just giddy. It's made me nuts. I feel like I'm on psychedelics. Wow, what a trip.
I need to ask you, Howie, when was the last time you were this high?
It's got to be at least 3-4 months.
Wow, geez.
I took a little bit in deference to my age. I took a little bit, just to taste to remind me of the best person I ever was on psychedelics. Wisdom. I was so wise and kind and understanding and sympathetic. And I was so patient. That was what I really loved about myself. I wasn't in a rush to say anything or to do anything. Just to feel.
Just take those brief moments to kind of take it in and everything now, along those lines.
How are you? Did you suffer? roller coaster.
I'm honestly more entertained by the theater of it all. I do love how Americans cover something like this. So I'm more intrigued by just watching the coverage and how it all, and also knowing as many Americans as I do, kind of just watching their reactions, because that's where I get the entertainment. I'm obviously not American, so it doesn't affect me much, but it's entertaining to watch.
Yes, cold-blooded, ironical detachment.
Yes.
How fortunate for you that you don't suffer like the rest of us.
But, I mean, in all seriousness, it kind of, you know, I do have many good friends in the States, and I have many good friends on both sides of the political spectrum, and it's kind of, it's interesting to kind of see how much they go into it because, I mean, having lived in Canada for a short amount of time, but living in Australia my whole life for the most part, you know, it's very different. We've only maybe had one election that I can remember where people were this passionate about something affecting us so much. Generally, it's kind of a blasé. But this is different.
You'll get there, Ben. You'll get there. Axelrod is my pal, my lifelong pal. He was a medic, you know, in the Navy, and a wonderful guy, a doctor's assistant his whole life. And he's a Trump guy. He's the only one of my real friends that became a reactionary, what I call right-wing Trumpist, you know, and I couldn't understand them. I couldn't really understand it. And I said, Joel, what's it about? He says, I don't like Trump, but I hate the left. So that's strong.
And it seems to be a lot more like, I don't know, in terms of we talked about before, have you seen it like this before? But it's so far, like each side, you know, if you've got somebody who's a Biden supporter or a Democrat, like I'm seeing people posting online, like if you even think of supporting Trump, unfriend me, and then vice versa on Trump supporters. I mean, it's kind of, it's very vitriolic, isn't it? When you've got those sort of people where it's kind of like they're full on firm on that, like do not be my friend if you support the other side.
This is the tragic situation that I find myself in, these feelings that never bothered me before if somebody was an NDP or a conservative or a social credit. I mean, Democrat, Republican, you know, it just passed. And we were all united under the skin. It didn't matter that much. Unfortunately, and maybe it's a sign of my age, you know, I care more. I'm angrier with the other side. It's hard for me to accept them, accept their stupidity. What I think it really is anti-intellectualism. I think there's a dark age of descending on the world, and we're going back against Western civilization, against enlightenment, against all the movements that brought us to here, to science, to improvement, to reason, to all these things that we, you know, as a society, as Western civilization, we embraced. We seem to be rejecting. There seems to be a darkness, and we're rejecting reason. I mean, the science rejection in the United States is a perfect example of rejecting the scientific guidance to COVID. But it's happened in England, it's happened in Europe, it's happening all over.
And why do you think that is, Howie? Why do you think that is happening?
I think because reason failed us, basically. I think that, you know, you look at the Nazis, you look at communism, I guess that was supposed to be reasonable, too. Marx tried to prove communism. These movements didn't bring happiness to people. I think that's why the evangelical, the severe, you know, the religious reaction, people saying, your science just hasn't made us happier. Your reason and logic and consistency, they're not values that are making us better as people. I think they're looking for some sort of magic primitivism that's going to improve everything. Go back to a gilded age. You know, go back to where everybody tries to go back and they can't go home again. Thomas Wolfe said it very clearly. There is no going back. There's only going forward. You're not going to find anything there. It's as sorted there than it was as it is now. It's a delusion when you think there's a romantic age and things were better. They weren't. It's just human beings that want to believe that. But it it's a fallacy.
Yeah, it's very definitely very interesting how that all plays out.
I don't know. Yeah. Why is reason failing? I don't know. I wish I did. I think those are really weighty subjects.
There's a very in-depth answer in there somewhere, Howie. I feel that there's philosophers listening to this right now going, oh, there's an answer in that somewhere. really, really getting deep.
Hey, call me for the humor.
Yes.
Call me for Ben, call me for superficial humor.
No. I'm with you there. Like, if I'm not the one to ask you the deep questions anyway, Howie. I think people are listening to the wrong show right now if they're expecting that philosophical. I can't even say philosophical. So, I mean, you know, that
experience. Now you're talking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the one, you know, eating the dessert and masturbating like you, mate. It's all good. With this outcome, not together though, Howie.
Yeah.
I don't know you quite that well. With this, the outcome of this election, do you see it affecting Vancouver Island in any way? Given you've got feet in both camps sort of in the States here in Canada, do you kind of see this result now with Biden potentially affecting us here on the island?
You know, it'd be nice to think that they're going to put some sort of control on the country so that their citizens will be able to travel again and come visit us and enrich our tourist coffers. But, you know, I think that might be a bit much to ask right away. I'm not looking for any miracles, really, just a nice, better feeling. I haven't been able to watch that man on television or listen to him intentionally. Of course, I've seen him or heard him on the corner of my eye for 4 years, like a curse. I have avoided him. I didn't want to give him my energy. And so it's going to be a relief now not to be afraid to turn on the television occasionally. And
unless he chains himself to the White House, right, and never leaves.
yeah, now you're talking. I think we'll go back, hopefully normal, huh? Whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that word means anymore, Hal. It's been a while since that word's been used. It's 2020, right? Does anyone know what that word means anymore?
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to leave you for the prognostications.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you for the prophecies. I'll stick with the cheap humor.
Yes, thank you. No, that's good. Exactly. Well, one thing too, just with the election, I mean, voter turnout seemed quite high in the US. I believe the highest since it's been in over 100 years. BC, we just had an election which was kind of the opposite, sort of a low voter turnout. I mean, what do you think that says? I mean, if we want to increase voter turnout, should we get voters absolutely polarized and pissed off at each other basically to get more people to vote here?
Yeah, hatred is a good motivator. Absolutely. Look what it did in the States. It got out the biggest vote in history. Yeah, hatred. That's right. That's a good motivator. Anger. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good stuff. That really gets people off their asses and into the polling booths. Absolutely.
Do you still vote, Howie? I mean, as a dual citizen, I'm guessing you still can
vote.
You voted?
I vote in both places. I don't know. They can probably come arrest me now. I'm a citizen. I'm certainly a dual citizen.
Yeah.
And I don't remember lying. I purposely don't lie if they ask me a question. I live in Canada. This is my residency. This is my, you know, where I pay my taxes, where I consider my real home. So, but, you know, my loyalty to America is clear. You can hear it in my voice.
Indeed.
You know, all my folks adored America. They taught me growing up it's the greatest country in the world. And look what they did for us. You know, my mother was from Europe. My father, my God, they came from real poverty. My grandparents didn't speak English. Certainly didn't write and read English. They could have, you know. So come a long way in really in less than a century or so. It's a remarkable journey. A lot to be grateful for America. My father was very hurt actually when I moved to Canada. He didn't really embrace that. The idea, even though I didn't betray the United States. I wasn't a traitor.
You're still on the same continent.
Maybe he thought I was, you know. Maybe he thought I was one of the Goldbergs. I don't know, but no.
You just up the road. Come on, you didn't move to China or something like that.
Right. If I knew anything, I would have given it away.
Yeah.
You know, with my mouth, I would have told anybody anything.
That policeman saying hello to you, you know, completely opposite. If you're somewhere else, you would have caved straight away.
Yeah, sure. We want to know about your sexual habits and nuclear secrets. Yes, anything. I'll tell you.
Well, there we go. We now know not to trust you with those secrets of Canada. If government's listening to this, Howie Siegel's not the guy to trust those.
Don't do it. Howie, I don't know enough about you to betray you, Ben.
No.
I hope one day in the future I have enough information.
Absolutely. You can go on another podcast and give us all the secrets on the Capital Daily, and then, you know, we would have dug our own selves a hole here at Capital Daily by having you on so much. So we'll be quite careful.
I love it. You know, you bring out the lunatic in me, and I love it.
That's what we like to do here on the show. Howie, mate, it's always a pleasure to chat with you and get you on the show, and particularly when you're feeling so good, when you're feeling so high. And, again, enjoy your dessert and your other solo activities, no doubt, this evening.
Especially today, Ben, you know, on this great day, a remarkable day. So good luck to all of us, and thank you.
Coming up, all today's news, plus, as promised yesterday, your weekly dose of random Australian news. Next. When I brush my teeth, the one thing I love is having a fresh mouth. However, there's also a clear scientific link between oral hygiene and preventing other health issues such as cancer, diabetes, and degenerative disease that makes having that fresh mouth just a little bit more important. And if you're like me and sometimes just don't brush as well as you should, then the talented crew at Wheelie Clean are here to help. Wheelie Clean doesn't just bring the dental office to your home, care home, or remote community, but offers some of the safest COVID-19 protocols on the island. Your mouth and health will really thank you for it. Book your first Wheelie Clean appointment today at wheelieclean.ca. Today's news now, and one of the three bodies found on Monday in Whiskey Creek outside of Qualicum Beach has been identified. Sean McGrath, 52, was identified to check by multiple sources. McGrath had an active drug trafficking charge, but it is not clear if his killing was related to the drug trade. Police said Monday that the shootings were targeted and that the public is not at risk, but others living in the off-road area remain concerned for their safety. Outreach worker Kelly Morris told CHECK that there are as many as 300 people living in the region between RV dwellers and unhoused campers across 16 encampments. The lone survivor of the shooting is in a stable condition in hospital. And after a survey of 13,000 care home residents and family members, the BC Seniors Advocate has recommended relaxing visitation restrictions on seniors facilities. The new report cited BC care facilities' 151 deaths from COVID-19 compared to 4,500 deaths for other reasons during the pandemic, saying many seniors did not want to spend potentially their last months apart from loved ones. The report also provided data on visitation so far, showing that seniors in care facilities are receiving dramatically reduced levels of human contact. In the first month of COVID-19 lockdowns, there was a low number of applications for and grants of essential visits, which involved providing personal care, grooming, and help with feeding. Once visits did become normalised by late summer, they tended to be less often than once a week and shorter than 30 minutes, unlike pre-pandemic, when they occurred multiple times per week and for longer periods. 30% of visits were outside and only 21% were in residents' rooms. And before I go today, I promised you yesterday that I would bring you your weekly dose of Australian random news today. And I'm a man who likes to keep his promise, so without further ado, let me hit a button and play something magical. Ah, doesn't it just make you want to buy a loaf of bread from a man in Brussels? This week, I have a story of a missing dinosaur in far north Queensland and one man's hunt for his beloved pet dinosaur. Now, according to ABC News, Shane Coleman has spent the last 4 days looking for his beloved dinosaur in Cairns. And before you think I'm being a little bit crazy here with this, his dinosaur he's referring to is a pet lace monitor, a lizard that is nearly 2 meters long. Coleman said he has had the lizard for about 15 years and that he used to go to school with him in his school bag. Somehow, the lizard managed to escape from his cage last Friday, and Coleman added that despite his scary size and fearsome appearance, the lizard was actually quite approachable and hoped that somebody would be able to return him soon. Always love a good animal story from back home, and for once, it's great to have a story about something that won't kill you. That's always a benefit. And that's it today for the Capital Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 5th, 2020. Remember to check out us on Instagram if you haven't already. I realise we probably post that a little bit every now and then that we tell you to do so, but just a friendly reminder in case you haven't done so. Great photos being posted up there at the moment, and we always appreciate it when we get sent some amazing ones in there for us to share. Simply search for Capital Daily on Instagram if you haven't already. Smash the follow button and you will never miss a post. It's that simple. My name is Ben Waterworth, and as they say in Australia, up the Maroons! Thanks for tuning in, and I will speak to you tomorrow. Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Wheelie Clean. Dental hygiene care has returned to BC, and there's no safer option than Wheelie Clean. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week, our team will post the weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is nighttime photography. To find out how you can enter, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter.